This is SB Nation Radio,
the next generation of sports radio.
On this team, we fight for that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch.
This is the Casey Smith Show.
So let's hear it one more time. Together, clear eyes, full hearts.
Let's go.
Here's your host, Casey Smith.
Welcome into a National Championship Monday.
So excited. I feel like it's Christmas morning.
It is. If you're a college football fan, it is Christmas morning, and I get to be joined by the gorgeous Annie Coons.
Oh, hello.
This is the Casey Smith Show live on a Monday. A little bit different of a show today. We're not going to do the full radio segments.
We got one thing to talk about.
That's the National Championship. We will check in with ESPN and SEC Network's Laura Rutledge, who is in Tampa right now. She's been all over all of the family of ESPN channels, breaking it down, talking about everything that's going on. We're going to get the vibe and kind of what's going on with her in just a few minutes.
I'm excited.
But before we even get there, you have a story about a flat tire that I feel like needs to be talked about before we talk a little bit of football.
Yesterday, I couldn't watch hardly any football. I was so upset. I was in Dallas, in Fort Worth for a wedding. I got a flat tire on the way to the reception. Barely
making it.
Barely made it. I had to pull into a parking lot. I left my car in Fort Worth because I was staying with a friend in Uptown in Dallas. Had to Uber to Dallas. Left my car there in a parking lot. Thought it was going to be towed when I got back. It wasn't, thankfully. Have no idea how to change a tire. Thanks, Dad. You really set me up for failure.
You know what? So I know that my dad is probably watching right now, and I've said those exact words, and he's like, I tried to teach you how to change a flat tire for your entire life. And you never would learn. That, and I'm like, well,
I called my dad and he's like, I'm shocked. He's like, I know I tried. And I was like, well, if you did, I don't remember. And I learned nothing because I had not a clue.
And isn't that what AAA is for?
It is. It was for AAA. Sorry, Thomas, Dad, to the rescue. He came in and took care of me and made it barely last night. So,
well, not a good. The wedding was fun, though.
The wedding was a blast. It was really fun. A bunch of track friends that I was with and super, super fun wedding. Lots of dancing and open bar, which is always
key.
Great.
Key
to a successful wedding.
The weddings are about the guest, right? I mean, yeah, like the actual marriage itself, but weddings have now become like who can put on the best party for the guests.
Yeah.
And if it's open bar, more than likely, at least in my opinion, nobody else is going to remember anything. Like if like the napkins all matched or whatever. And I understand that's important. I'm not knocking anybody.
But it's not as important.
But it's if you have an open bar and there's a good DJ or a good band and everybody's dancing and the food is decent.
It's about the experience.
Like if the food is really, really bad, then maybe. But other than that, like those are the things I look for. How was the dancing? How was the drinking?
And was it free?
And was and apparently Annie wasn't free. But usually at weddings like that, that's the whole thing, right? Is how much of a party you can throw.
Yeah, I've been to a dry wedding before and it was not my scene. Ended at like 8:45. So this wedding was a lot better. Congrats, Clifton and Shelby. It was really fun.
Even with the flat tire.
I made it barely. It was chugging along.
I made it back for my first trip to Fredericksburg. It was a really good time.
Your weekend looked fun.
It was fun. Lots of wine, lots of good times. I didn't drink very much on Saturday because I was sick, but I was like, you know what? I can enjoy the ambiance.
They That's do what just matters, sit back and right? watch.
That's just what, all that matters. But Fredericksburg was great. You guys that live in the area have never been there. Definitely go check it out.
Yeah, I need to go. I've never been.
We went to Messina Hof too, which they also have a winery here in College Station.
Yes.
But the one in Fredericksburg was really cool.
Is it better than this one?
No, it's about the same.
About the same, okay.
I mean, cool. It's wine, though. It's good wine. So,
wine is wine.
Good wine and girlfriends. What else do you need? Again, welcome in, guys, on this Monday. There's nothing else to really talk about. Obviously, the national championship tonight. Alabama, Clemson, the rematch.
Cannot wait.
8 o'clock Eastern on ESPN at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. Like I mentioned, we will check in with Laura, who is there. But Annie, this is a rematch from last year. We talked about this on the show last week. Obviously, and I said this before the show, and a lot of times sequels aren't as good. We saw a great game last year, even though there wasn't drama all the way down to the final minute. But what we saw last year out of Deshaun Watson, what he was able to do with almost 500 yards against Alabama, bringing all of that momentum into this season. You hear all the Clemson players talking about this is all they've thought about all year. Not only did they make it back to the national championship, they made it back to this title game against the team that beat them last year. Mm-hmm. So much motivation. Dabo Swinney's talked about it. And then on the flip side, you've got Alabama. You've got this team of of assumed destiny all year. Everybody's been talking about how this may be one of the greatest teams in college football history.
Mm-hmm. Definitely one of the best defenses.
One of the best defenses. Obviously, Nick Saban's best team in Alabama. So a lot of really good storylines going into this game, and it's finally here, and we're going to get to see it play out tonight.
That's what's so fun about this game is all the storylines surrounding it. There's just so much going into this game. Off the field, on the field, obviously all the drama that happened last year. This is kind of a revenge tour for Clemson. They've been Absolutely. Waiting for this game. They look completely different than they did all season. They're super inconsistent. I was not on that Clemson train. Until
I called you out on Friday.
You
but
did.
I,
you
I
did. Called you out and I'll admit bit. It. I will own it. I really wasn't. I thought they were a little overrated. They've been inconsistent. But they were a completely different team in the semis. So I'm really excited for this one. I think a huge storyline here is going to be Jalen Hurts and kind of the drama that happened last week with Kiffin leaving and being removed as offensive coordinator, Sarkisian taking over. There's a lot of different perspectives on that. I tend to think that it could be one of a huge advantage for Alabama just because you have all this film all year long as Kiffin doing all the play calls. And it might throw up teams for a loop because you have so much time to prepare for these games. You really never know what to expect. But I think that's going to be really key for Alabama is to kind of throw Clemson for a loop.
Well, and it is different because you have almost a month to prepare for the first semifinal game, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's why you look at what happened last year with Alabama and how dominant they were, how dominant Clemson looked against Ohio State last weekend. But then you go into a situation where you can assume, looking at Washington, Alabama, that you knew Alabama was going to win. Mm-hmm. But you have a situation now, I believe our Periscope just...
Did it stop?
It's switched around.
Oh, Carly, want to come fix
it? You're getting to see Alex Parker over there in the corner.
Alex is prepping in the back.
Alex is prepping in the corner. But you kind of had an assumption, right, that Alabama would win. Mm-hmm. So Clemson maybe had an idea, but you can't prep for that next game. You have to look at what's on the table currently.
Right.
Now you only have a week to get ready for this national championship game. And you bring up Sarkisian now being the offensive coordinator. I think that is huge because it's a storyline, mm-hmm. but I don't think that it's going to impact the game as much. And I was on Texas radio early today, the local show with Gabe Bach, and we talked about this. And my thing is, it's almost like there's too much going into this with not enough time, right? Mm-hmm. Like you look at the 7 days. Yeah, it's going to be an impact. We don't know how negatively or positively it made impact. I don't think it can absolutely just be a great thing. Mm-hmm. But how negatively can it impact Jalen Hurts and the rest of this offense when it's been so, I mean, it's only 7 days. You don't almost have enough time to freak out.
Yeah, no, I agree. The time frame going into this game is a lot shorter. I think huge thing here is going to be the relationship that Jalen Hurts had with Kiffin. We all know that Kiffin was a major part of making Jalen Hurts the starting QB for Alabama. And so Absolutely. I think they had a really good relationship, and that always is going to go into play. I know personally if it's going to be a distraction a little bit, but I think we're going to learn a lot about Jalen Hurts from this game and how he faces that adversity, and great players are going to show up no matter what happens. So I think he's going to be huge here. He was a little bit off against Washington. He's 7-14 with 57 yards passing against Washington secondary. So he's definitely going to have to step it up, but he almost doesn't have to have a perfect game with that defense behind him. But I think it'll be interesting to see. And the run game, Bo Scarborough is unbelievable, and Clemson's going to have to shut him down, or at least try to slow him down to have any chance at winning this game.
The biggest thing for me was Sark on the sidelines right now with the short amount of time. Obviously, you know, we can sit up here and say, why did Nick Saban do this? You can look back at last year and you can look at how Kirby Smart was able to do defensively with his unit in the first game mm-hmm. versus in the second game. Maybe Nick Saban didn't want Lane Kiffin to have that same opportunity. The offense did struggle. Maybe he didn't want to see that kind of relive itself this season mm-hmm. with maybe Kirby Smart wasn't 100%. And we don't know. We don't know. But he did go through the national championship. My biggest thing with Sark is the offense can't change that much in 7 days. It's not right. like he's going to come in and just completely change the scheme, no. completely change the philosophy and the mentality. He might throw in some things that Lane Kiffin didn't do. He might
that Clemson won't be expecting.
Exactly. He might more lean on the running back situation and how good Bo Scarborough has proven to be. And you look at that game against Washington, and we talked about this ad nauseum last week. Bo Scarborough with 180 yards in that game was the reason Alabama won.
He was their saving grace.
On offense. Mm-hmm. But this defense on the other side is so good. And you look on the flip side, with this Clemson offense, as hot as they are, that is where the matchup is going to be decided, in my opinion. It's not necessarily what all can Alabama's offense do against Clemson's very stout defensive line. Mm-hmm. Their linebackers are not as strong, but Clemson's defense looked really good against Ohio State.
Yeah.
It's how can Deshaun Watson be productive against the best defense in the season, let mm-hmm. alone the best defense maybe in all of college football, arguably Alabama's best defense. What can he do to maximize his production? You've got the weapons he's got. You understand that he's very turnover prone, but this defense is just so good. And I think that's where this game is going to be decided, is in the trenches with Alabama's defensive line, and Clemson's offensive line has not been able to hold up for 60 minutes this entire season.
No, I think that you made it. It's just a great point. I mean, it's this matchup is so, so good because Watson is just so dynamic. He's just such an incredible athlete. Saban, hats off to him. I mean, Saban came out and said he may be arguably the best player in college football. And for a coach like Saban to come out and say that, you know there's high praise there and that he knows that he has a challenge ahead of him. But like you said, it's just this defense against Watson is going to be so, so interesting to watch who comes out. Watson just is going to have to very, very much so limit his mistakes. He can't throw picks in this game because that defense is going to take every ounce that they give him.
He's had 17 interceptions this year. He's had 30 over the last two seasons. And that's obviously key because when you look at what Alabama has been able to do this year, they have 15 non-offensive touchdowns, like we've talked about all season. And if Deshaun Watson turns the ball over, if he doesn't protect the ball, even
They're going to score.
They're absolutely going to score because they can. And when you look at how many times Alabama scores off of turnovers, it's very high. Very. It's not like they're just taking these balls away from these teams and then not doing anything with them. They're scoring 15 non-offensive touchdowns. So you look at where Deshaun Watson has to step up. He's arguably, if not definitely, the best player on the team, on the field at the time. He could be the best player in the country at this point, outside of Lamar Jackson, but you can still make that argument. But he is going to have to play at such a level, in my opinion, to be able to beat this defense, and I think that's going to be really tough. And on the flip side, Jalen Hurts doesn't have to be Deshaun Watson. Jalen Hurts has to take care of the ball. They have to be able to hand the ball off to the running backs with Bo Scarborough and with all the weapons they have and just play a clean game knowing that this defense can do what they can do.
That's what's going to come down to. You know, Jake Browning said that this defense gets in quarterbacks' heads, and that's going to be key here. Watson is going to have to mentally stay focused and not get rattled by this defense, which is so tough to do. But I do think he is on a mission, kind of like you said. Lamar Jackson obviously got the Heisman over him. He's come out and said he thinks he's the best player in the country right now, and he obviously has respect for Lamar Jackson, but he's on a mission to prove himself and prove a lot of people wrong in that Heisman voting. So I'm excited to see what he brings to the table. But like you said, with this defense, he's going to be very limited to mistakes. You want to hear my stat of the day that
we
heard
stat.
Earlier from one of our producers? So Taylor Travis, producer, told Ronnie that if Bama played zero offense, like if they kneeled every offensive down, Bama would be 6-8 this year.
And they wouldn't have played 8 games.
Exactly.
So they would have been 6-6. That's how good this defense and the special teams
were. Can we just drop the mic? I mean, that is insane. That stat right there alone is huge going into this game.
So we apologize because our Periscope hates us, I think. So if you were watching on Twitter and Periscope, it did crash. But welcome back in. This is the Casey Smith Show.
Do I need to repeat the stat?
Yeah, you should repeat that stat.
Okay, we can repeat this because it's incredible.
We're talking about Alabama's non-offensive touchdowns this year and how good this defense and the special teams units are, because Alabama's offense doesn't have to play perfectly. We saw that against Washington.
They really don't.
But what they're able to do, even when the offense is not on the field, is incredible. And that's why you have to have faith that even if Jalen Hurts is rattled, this defense is just so good that they can still win this game.
It's a huge cushion for him. This defense is so, so dominant. All right, guys. So if Bama played zero offense, if they just kneeled every offensive down, Bama would be 6-8 this year. 6-8. And they wouldn't have those extra two games.
They wouldn't have those. They'd go 6-6. And that's a stat that we heard from one of the TechSags radio producers earlier today, Taylor Travis.
Thank you, Taylor.
So, but that's how dominant this unit has been. And you look at what Clemson can do on offense, though, and they don't even just move the ball very quickly. It's almost like when they do their no huddle, it's almost quicker than anybody else, right? It really is. I mean, Deshaun Watson releases that ball so quickly, and this offense
that's huge
is so dynamic when he plays well. You've got Mike Williams. You've got a really good tight end, too. But this defense for Alabama is what you just have to keep coming back to. And you have to look at it and say, look how good they have been. And look at how Clemson has struggled throughout the year mm-hmm. when they don't have a whole lot of time. And in close games, they've had to kind of eke some out. And that's where a lot of your belief in they keep getting lucky almost. Mm-hmm. They're obviously very talented. We saw a completely different Clemson team in November and then against Ohio State that we saw a lot during the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. But how good is this team and can they stand up to Alabama for 60 minutes? Nobody's been able to do that all year, mm-hmm. especially in the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, it's just going to be so crucial for Clemson to hone in on that run game and shut it down and slow down Bo Scarborough. He was such a force against Washington, obviously. And they're going to have to force Hurts to throw the ball. And that's what's going to be key here is if he's going to show up and play or if he's going to shut down like the 18-year-old inexperienced quarterback that we think that he is, but he's continued to prove us wrong. So I don't know. He's going to have to connect with that receiving core and make some big plays. But I just think this matchup is so, so interesting because of the offense that Clemson brings and the defense that Bama has.
A lot of different storylines, and obviously we'll continue to break those down throughout the show. But somebody who is in Tampa right now, living it in real life and real color, is ESPN and SEC Network's Laura Rutledge. Laura, how insane is this scene right now where you are?
It's pretty crazy. I'm actually standing right outside the stadium right now, and it's just amazing looking up at the stadium. They've got the big signs with the national championship trophy on it, and it says Clemson Tigers and Alabama Crimson Tide, and it's incredible just to see kind of that now here we are with the final two teams. I think we have the two best teams in the country, which is what you want for the college football playoff national championship game, and here we are, guys. I mean, it's pretty fun. This is in my opinion, one of the best days of the year in all of sports.
Absolutely. Annie called it Christmas Day earlier, and I know that you agree with that as well. Laura, being around these two teams all week like you have, and obviously you've seen them up close this season as well, with this being a rematch and everybody talking about last year's game and how good it was and how well Deshaun Watson played, what is the vibe around this Clemson team going into this game with a little bit more revenge, knowing that they are playing Alabama again?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think if for some reason Alabama hadn't made it to this game and Clemson had, it just wouldn't feel quite the same for them because they've wanted Alabama all season long, and that's been their motivation. I mean, I saw them earlier on in the season against Georgia Tech. They were talking about hoping to play Alabama again, even at that point. And at that point, they were still struggling offensively. They didn't look nearly as good as they do now, and they really peaked at the right time when it comes to playing their best football when it matters most. So I think that they are ready for this. This has been their motivation. Deshaun Watson has so much to prove, and he had a lot of success, guys, with over 400 yards, 4 touchdowns against a really stout Alabama defense from last year. So from that standpoint, he's probably thinking, all right, you know, I'm coming off a great performance against Ohio State, and I should be able to do well against Alabama's defense. Alabama's defense, though, guys, is saying not so fast. they're like, wait a second. You know, they have a chip on their shoulders when it comes to Deshaun Watson. He is kind of enemy number one for them. And that's a little scary if you're on the other side of that. If you think about this ferocious Alabama defense and how they've almost played angry all year long, they have something to prove against Deshaun Watson. And if I'm Deshaun Watson, you know, I'm not backing down, but I'm kind of like, ooh, that's a little dicey, you know?
Talking to Laura Rutledge of ESPN and the SEC Network, who is in Tampa covering all of the festivities, obviously the game tonight there, Alabama-Clemson rematch. Laura, when you look at Alabama and obviously everything that surrounded them all season and how it almost feels like they were this team of destiny to go 15-0 and you see how good Clemson played, on the Alabama side of things, though, what is the vibe surrounding this? It's almost like they knew they were going to be here, and now that they are, what have you seen from these players this week throughout the media leading up to kickoff tonight?
Well, as you would expect, I mean, Nick Saban has these guys so prepared for anything coming their way. They've been very businesslike. They had some fun at media day, but you still felt like even through the fun and the games, they were so focused and so dialed in. And they say that even with the change from Lane Kiffin calling plays and Steve Sarkisian calling plays, that they're completely prepared for that, and they've liked it. The practices have been better. They've been more up-tempo. They've been more energized. There's been a more positive energy about them. I think one of the biggest things, too, is Alabama's defense. We know how good they are. Alabama's offense in practice hadn't been having any success against them. Now with Sarkisian coming in and changing some things around a little bit, they've started to have success in practice against Alabama's defense, which makes you say, okay, wait a second, that's got to be the best defense in the country. I mean, I don't think there's any argument. So if this offense can have success in practice against their own defense, that's a pretty good sign of what they're going to be like. Now, that said, guys, it's still just practice. So I think there's definitely something to be concerned about if you're an Alabama fan, just the fact that Jalen Hurts is still basically a freshman and he's got a new guy in Adair calling plays.
So you mentioned that. That's very interesting because we had not heard that angle about what's going on with Sark in practice. And you're right. I mean, obviously with confidence going into that, that they can score on this defense, that's got to be extremely knowledgeable for them going into this game. But on the flip side of that, everybody's talking about Jalen Hurts and his relationship with Lane Kiffin and how that might rattle this young freshman. From what you've seen from Jalen specifically, Laura, do you think this will have a big impact on him without Lane Kiffin on the sidelines?
I think it actually could have a positive impact on him to not have Lane Kiffin on the sidelines. I mean, at the end of the day, there may be a few times where you say, huh, this Alabama offense isn't in as good of a rhythm, and maybe it's because Sark's calling plays, but then again, they weren't in a good rhythm last week in the Peach Bowl, and that was with Lane Kiffin calling plays. And it seemed like, you know, Lane Kiffin and his departure had a lot to do with the fact that maybe he was a little distracted with everything going on at FAU and him preparing for this head coaching job. So from that standpoint, I think Jalen Hurts is probably saying, okay, now I've got this guy who is solely focused on what we're doing here at Alabama, and that really plays in his favor. So I think that's going to be a positive thing for him. The other thing, too, I think there's going to be more increased roles for other players in this offense. We really didn't see Calvin Ridley or Darius Stewart that involved in Alabama's game plan against Washington. I could see them being a lot more integral in this. They've had a little sparkle in their eye, a little pep in their step this week. I think they think they're going to be doing a lot in this game, and really that's where, you know, they could factor in and take some of the pressure off of Jalen Hurts.
Talking to Laura Rutledge of ESPN and the SEC Network. Laura, as somebody in the media, you know this, I know this, that every time there's a media day surrounding something like this, there's always a guy that kind of steals the show. Who has that guy been this week leading up to this game? Has there been one, or is there multiple guys that have really just caught the attention of everybody that's covering this game?
You know, it's funny because I think you bring up a really good point. There's always somebody who kind of, you know, gets your attention and says something that you're like, oh, wait a second. And usually it's not an Alabama player, but there is one Alabama player that has been sticking out, I think, for a while. And it's been basically since last week. And it's Ryan Anderson. And I kind of have a personal experience with this because after the Peach Bowl, I interviewed him and asked him, you know, how he felt about the game. And he told me he felt disrespected. And then I kept asking him why he felt disrespected, and he kept like not telling me why, which is kind of funny. But I think it has something to do with the fact that his numbers are very similar to Jonathan Allen. Jonathan Allen gets all the hype. Mm-hmm. He gets all the credit. But Ryan Anderson is somebody that should be getting more attention. He should be on more people's draft boards, and he's not when it comes to these mock drafts. He will be, I think, an incredibly successful NFL player. But he has a lot to prove. We had the pick six last week, and he's been talking all week long about how this Alabama defense and the Alabama team as a whole almost feels like an underdog in this game, which is crazy to think because they shouldn't be an underdog. But that's how they feel, and that's a little bit scary and interesting for Clemson. So I would say Ryan Anderson has stuck out. He's continued to have these quotes that kind of make you scratch your head, but they are coming from somewhere, and it's a place where you think motivation is going to be really important.
So you mentioned this Alabama defense, and obviously the talking heads and everybody in the national media are talking about, could this be one of the best defenses in all of college football, not just this season? And you get the sense from what you're saying that these guys don't necessarily feel that way. What do you think this defense needs to do tonight to really solidify that spot as one of the best defenses that's ever been in college football?
Well, Jonathan Allen put it this way. He said, we don't need to contain Deshaun Watson. We need to stop him. Which is interesting because when you think about the respect that I know they have for Deshaun Watson and really every defense in college football has for Deshaun, you don't think about stopping him. You think about containing him because he is so talented. He brings so much to the table. You know they're going to stretch the field. You know he's going to make some insane throws that are going to make you scratch your head. And Mike Williams will win those 50-50 balls and really be a guy that he can rely on. But I think this Alabama defense, in order to really solidify what you're saying and what people talk about as being potentially the best defense of all time, or at least in college football history, they're going to have to dominate and make Deshaun Watson's day miserable. I don't know if that's possible. I think Deshaun Watson is so talented. I see this game being really close and back and forth. And I really think if Alabama's defense is going to be able to change the complexion of the game, it will have to be with a pick six or something like that, a non-offensive touchdown of some sort, because I think that's where, you know, they have a chance to kind of separate themselves and really live up to what people are calling the best defense of all time.
I know you're covering this game, so sometimes people don't like to answer this question, but do you have a feeling who's going to get the win tonight?
I think it'll be Alabama, and I think it'll be because of what I just said, those pick six. I actually think they could score two non-offensive touchdowns, and if they do that, I think they can win. Otherwise, though, I mean, this is going to be a tough one, and even though I'm picking Alabama, I think it could really go either way, kind of like last year. These two teams are very evenly matched, and this is what we hope for in college football. We have the two best teams facing off in just what is a whale of a championship game. I don't care that it's a rematch. I love that it's a rematch. I want to see them face off again. The second that the game ended last year, I wanted to see it played again. So it's awesome that we get to see that one more time.
Laura, before we let you go, I have to know, who is the crazier fan base out there right now? Is it Clemson or is it Alabama?
Well, we were driving into the stadium just a few minutes ago, and I kind of felt like I was seeing more Clemson fans than Alabama fans.
Really?
And they were all riled up and everything. But then we decided, well, maybe the Alabama fans are in the bar somewhere, and they're going to definitely show up to the game. So that's my theory on that. But that said, I mean, they've both been out and about. It's been unusually cold in Tampa these last couple days, and it's been funny because I think some people were not expecting that, me included. But the fans have been loud and proud, and it's been really fun to see everybody excited for this game.
Well, thanks for hanging out with us. We know you have a lot to do. You'll be all over ESPN and the SEC Network today. Have so much fun tonight, Laura, and we'll talk to you soon.
Have fun. We're jealous.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
Laura Rutledge of ESPN and the SEC Network live from Tampa.
Interesting takes.
I had no idea, and maybe it's just because I've not been paying as close of attention as I should, but I love what she said about Sarkisian in practice
that's
and
huge.
That this offense is actually having some success against Alabama's defense with what he's done. But the interesting thing about that is the whole storyline without Lane Kiffin is, how is the culture going to be changed? Is it going to be impacted? And what she said was, which is very interesting, is that they've almost had more positive reactions from practice. It's been more up-tempo. It's been, I guess, the attitude seems like it's changed. Mm-hmm. And that is really big for this Alabama team, knowing that with everybody like us sitting up here saying, well, how is this going to rattle them? It seems like it might be rattling them almost in a positive way.
Well, and it's really easy, I feel like, to hear the storyline and say, oh, that's going to be a huge effect. That's going to really be throwing a wrench in there. And it's good to hear that it's not. I think that, honestly, Sarkisian could be the best thing to happen for them before this game. And like I said last week when this all kind of broke, I said, well, who are we to not trust Saban on this and this decision? And I think, honestly, from everything that Laura is saying, and she's right there up close and personal to the team and the practices, I think this could make Alabama's offense a lot more dynamic, which is what they need.
Absolutely. And that's why I sit back, and if I look at this game, I do think it's going to be close. I think you have a very talented Clemson team. You've got one of the best players in the nation with Deshaun mm-hmm. Watson at quarterback for Clemson, and you've got his weapons. They are not going to be able to run the ball. And I think that's where you look at this game and you say, okay, Alabama's offense can run the ball. We've seen that. Obviously, they know what can happen with Bo Scarborough. He was coming into the last few games, like the fourth leading rusher. He had 300, like right over 300 yards going to the Iron Bowl mm-hmm. and has had 300 plus in the last three games. I mean, guy has exploded. Obviously, Lane Kiffin had something to do with that. And I think we'll see that with Sark as well. Hand the ball
to give it
Scarborough.
To him.
But that what this team is going to have to do and what Clemson is going to have to do is to really get a ground game going. And Wayne Gallman has been okay,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think they're going to be able to do that, and it's going to force them to be very one-dimensional. And yeah, they're going to make some plays. There's no question. Deshaun Watson's going to make some plays.
Yeah.
But like Laura just said, Jonathan Allen made it very clear, we're not looking to slow him down. We're looking to shut him down.
And that's the mentality they need.
And for him to be saying that and how important he is to this defense, do I think that Clemson's going to score? Absolutely. But I think they're going to make it very difficult on him if he cannot find his receivers. They can't get a ground game going against that front seven. It's going to be difficult. It's not impossible, but I think the Alabama defense is what makes this game different than what we saw last year, because I think this defense is that much better.
Oh, they are. I mean, they've only surrendered 36.7 yards per game over their last three outings against Washington, Florida, and Auburn. I mean, that's huge numbers. I mean, they're just so dominant. But I think what needs to be talked about here is also the motivation about going into this game for Alabama, because of all the outside talk about Clemson being so close with them and that they almost are an underdog after being so dominant and proving themselves week in and week out all season long. You know, that's got to put a chip on their shoulders. And I did look at the senior aspect of it, because I think that's a huge role. After I've played, I know in my senior year, you just soak up every last moment that you get. And Bama has more seniors. I think they have 12 and Clemson has about 9. So it's close. But I just think that they're going to have a lot more motivation going into this because of all the talk that Clemson is going to be so close in this game.
And you talk about the seniors. That's kind of a big thing for Clemson, too. And you look, Clemson has been vulnerable, mm-hmm. but they've stayed true and true to what they have done. And yes, they lost the one game, and you know, you kind of wipe the slate clean at this point because the playoff kind of
had a meltdown
different.
Against Pitt, but
right. And you look at how close all their games were, but the difference about this Clemson team is they aren't playing a lot of younger guys. I mean, there are definitely young guys on the roster, but Dabo Swinney has made it very clear the depth this year is different, the attitude is different, and some of these guys that were injured last year are having huge impacts, and that is really big for Clemson. That they don't have that kind of feeling of, okay, yes, we're going to be the underdog against Alabama, and we don't have all that we have to offer available. They have everything that they have to offer available for Dabo Swinney and company tonight, and that's why I think this game is going to be so close. Mm-hmm. I absolutely believe that Alabama is going to win. But I wouldn't be surprised if Clemson won this game because of the way they've come about as a team, the way Deshaun Watson's improved over the last four or five games. Mm-hmm. And you can't ignore that because even though they should have lost a few games, they should have lost NC State. Absolutely. You look at Louisville, you look at Florida State, you look at Virginia Tech, all these close games. But they have proven and proved tenfold against Ohio State that just because that was going on the regular season doesn't mean they're carrying that into the playoff. And I think that's what's dangerous about this Clemson team.
Yeah, no, I agree. The thing I look at, though, is that their performance against Ohio State obviously changed my perspective completely on this team. I mean, they were just completely different. And they have that leadership behind them, like you talked about. And that's so key in these types of games. They have the maturity and the experience at quarterback. So I think that's going to be huge for them. It's just, will it be enough to stop Alabama and that dominant defense? That's the storyline here. And I'm just not sure they're going to be able to do that. Even though Clemson, I think they bring the aspect that they are so quick in their offensive scheme. I mean, aside from the no huddle scheme, they're quicker
than just no huddle.
They're just almost so quick in their release and movement and getting the ball going. And that's going to be hard for this defense to handle. But it's tough. It's so tough to go against Alabama in this one.
You look at the game last year and what OJ Howard at tight end for Alabama was able to do. He is back. So now you're curious, how do they stop that factor? Because he will be a main key in this game. Is he had a big game last year. Derrick Henry obviously had a big game last year as well, Heisman Trophy winner. But OJ Howard is big for this Alabama offense. And you look at what Steve Sarkisian brings to the table. You know that, like we mentioned, the philosophy is going to be close to the same. It might look different next year, more pro style, whatever.
But they can't go and change a bunch of stuff a week out.
But OJ Howard, who can Clemson put on him to stop him? I don't think there is anybody. And earlier today on Texas Radio, we looked at who maybe could potentially guard him. There's nobody that's even close in their secondary that can match up size-wise. Mm-hmm. So OJ Howard is a main key in this game. But on the flip side of that, if Clemson's defense has been very stout, this defensive line is very good, if they can take him away and force Jalen Hurts to throw the ball to those really good receivers, but force him to throw, that's where it gets dangerous for Alabama's offense, because he has proven that he's dual threat. He's proven that he can do both, but he is a little bit shaky in the passing game if he doesn't have his weapons wide open.
No, I think it brings up a huge point is Clemson's secondary, because I don't think they're as impressive as Washington's secondary, but they have been really disciplined as of late. I mean, they allow just an average of over 172 passing yards to their opponents in their last three games, obviously Ohio State, Virginia Tech, and South Carolina. So I think their secondary is going to be a little bit of an issue, especially now with that coming out. So I don't know. I just think there's so many different storylines going into this game that the drama is just rising and rising and rising, and I cannot wait to watch it tonight.
If Nick Saban wins this game,
hands down the best college coach of all time.
I completely agree. I think that that's something that everybody's talking about right now, because if you look, and I saw this stat earlier, 7 of the last 10 national championships have been coached by either Nick Saban or Urban Meyer.
That's incredible.
That is incredible. And you look at what he's been able to do, and a lot of fans talk about, you know, is he as good as Bear Bryant? We don't really know. This will put him on that level to me. I think it might even surpass him because of how quickly he's been able to do it. And if he kicks out his offensive coordinator 7 days before
and pulls this off,
that's just one little element. You can't even make an argument that Nick Saban isn't one of the greatest ever, if not the greatest college
football
coaches.
It's hard not to. And that is just so impressive. He's and like goat. You said, that's the thing. I think I said this on the show that I think a goat should be in his Twitter handle. Mm-hmm. Just a goat emoji. That's it. Nothing else.
And we tried to make it happen by calling the PR department, but it
didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
I didn't like our idea. But like, I mean, looking for their fifth national title since 2009. And like you said, it's just how quickly and he's done this and how consistent he's been to again and again just be the powerhouse that is Alabama. And I think if they get this win, especially with everything that happened with Lane Kiffin and Sarkisian, it's just hat off to Saban, because he will be the GOAT.
And last thing on this game and this matchup, and we can talk about this for days and days and days. And obviously we'll see it all play out tonight, and we'll see the storylines without Lane Kiffin. We'll see all of that. But again, it comes down to me is how good this defense is. You look at what running backs have been able to do against them this year. And I obviously Deshaun Watson can run. He can make moves with his feet. He's also
so
pass.
Dynamic.
He apparently doesn't want to be known as a dual threat quarterback, which is
why?
Weird because he is. I think it's more of just kind of like it's a label,
yeah.
You know? But he is. I mean, he can do everything so well. I heard that on the Herd this morning.
He's just so athletic.
He's so athletic. But the last running back to score a touchdown on Alabama's defense that I learned this morning, very interesting stat, is Alvin Kamara of Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
That's a long time ago.
That is a long time
ago. So
you
look at the span of the year. Not only were people not scoring touchdowns as a running back,
yeah.
Teams weren't scoring touchdowns.
Right.
That's where this key is for me. And how can Deshaun Watson protect the ball enough? And I just think that Alabama is just too talented. I think that Clemson has an absolute chance in it. Like I said, it wouldn't surprise me. But I'm going to say I will not be making any bets on how many shots that I'm taking tonight. Because
that was my
I
next
made that
question.
Mistake.
That was my next question. I'll be with her, too.
I made that mistake against Clemson, Ohio State.
What was that tweet that you said?
I said that I would take, so I was with a Clemson cheerleader, former Clemson cheerleader, and I was sure that Ohio State was going to win, but I thought it was going to be a close game.
Same.
I really did. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be very close. So I said, look, if Ohio State loses, I will take a shot for every point they lose by. I don't know if you remember that game, but there were 31 points that separated those two.
I'd be getting a call to the ER.
I'm not making any type of bet. Now, I didn't take all 31, obviously. And when I tweeted that, the reactions I had on Twitter were phenomenal. I mean, they really were. They were phenomenal.
I can imagine.
I didn't take all 31. But
thankfully, I'm glad you didn't. Good job, Casey.
Yeah,
pat on the back.
I feel like I grew up in 2017. I don't know. But we will be watching the game tonight. And so here's my bet for you.
Oh, goodness. I'm nervous.
Well, actually, we'll figure this out later because we both think Alabama's going to. I'll save it for Alex Parker.
Okay, I think Bama's going with this one.
SB Nation actually put out a really cool drinking game. It's like a bingo. I don't know if it's actually supposed to be a drinking
game. I
love
game, bingo.
But it's like bingo. So go look at that on SBNation.com because it looks like a really good time. Plus,
enjoy
we're partners with SB Nation Radio. So
yeah, so why not?
Go check it out. So I'm going to figure out a drinking game for you.
All right, yeah, think on that
Tweet
one.
At me if you guys have a drinking game for
Yes,
any of the kids tonight.
Send in your ideas.
We will be heading to Houston with all of our Alabama friends. We're going to an Alabama official watch party because more friends of ours in Houston are from Alabama.
And I think they're going to win, so might as well.
It'll be fun. It'll be funny. This game is going to be awesome. So
it's going to be back and forth. I think it's going to be so back and forth that it could come down to field goals. I think it could come down to non-offensive touchdown, like Laura said. And I'm just excited to get my popcorn ready and watch it.
Thanks for hanging out.
Of course.
This is the Casey Smith Show live on a Monday, wrapping up thanks to GridironNow.com, Twitter, Periscope, Facebook, and of course, SB Nation Radio nationally. If you guys are on Twitter and Periscope, we thank you for your patience as our iPad and app hates us sometimes, but that's okay.
Who cares?
Who cares?
I hate technology, honestly.
I do
even
too.
Though we use it
we're
and
so,
rely on it heavily,
we're
I
so,
still hate you.
We're so relying on you. This gorgeous brunette that's now joining me is Alex Parker. Because our Monday show is a lot shorter today, it's kind of sporadic because obviously it's the national championship
but
day.
We're sporadic people anyways.
We like living
keep
our
up.
Life on the edge.
We want to keep you guys on your toes.
I still wanted the people to be able to hear you and see you.
Oh, thank you. Well, it feels great to be back 2017. I didn't do radio with y'all last week, so this is my first time on the radio waves of 2017.
You have a good holiday?
I did. I had a great holiday. I went snow skiing. I was up in the Rocky Mountains, so I have no complaints.
Lots of fun.
I survived an ice storm. I did drive through an ice storm in a two-wheel drive little Sonata. It was really dangerous.
Why'd you do that?
It was the only option. I had to get back to work, man. I called up. I was like, hey, I might not make it out. I really might not make it out of these mountains, but I did. I survived. And of course, all the snow got dumped on after we left. So.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. So, of course, looking at the national championship, Annie and I have broken it down. Alabama, Clemson tonight at 8 Eastern on ESPN. A lot of people going with Alabama, but Alex, mm-hmm. I do think that this one is a lot closer than maybe a couple of weeks ago. If you would have asked me, I would have said, I don't care who they're playing.
Yeah.
They're going to be dominant. They're going to beat them. After watching what Clemson did against Ohio State last weekend, you can make a very good argument, and a lot of people are, that this game is going to be a lot closer and that Clemson could actually beat this destiny team that Alabama has been all year.
And you know, you said all year we've been talking about it. Bama has been that destiny team. Bama has been that team where we all looked at each other and go, well, we know who's going to win the national championship this year, but I'm going to be one of those people that makes the argument for Clemson. And what, and you just brought up the fact, you know, one thing Laura said was playing their best football when it matters most, and that is so important. And you see it all the time where these teams, you know, you never know really who's going to make it at the end, but they are playing their best football, and they showed that against Ohio State. And then, you know, one thing that I really want to bring up with this Kiffin situation is that he's a freshman. Jalen Hurts is a freshman. So to me, essentially, yeah, I understand that there's still positivity going on. And, you know, Sark is a leader and he's been in the business for a long time. So I'm sure there's a lot of respect there with those players. But there's still, Jalen Hurts is going to have to be the overall main manager of this game to me. And I don't know if a true freshman can do that.
So I think that that is the big storyline right now, is how much will this impact? So we are making the argument that it's not necessarily going to impact him very much. Mm-hmm. Of course, we talked to Laura Rulledge, who's in Tampa, saying that from at least the culture of this team right now, it seems like it's not going to impact them mm-hmm. too much. But in your opinion, you do think that this is going to be the key factor for this Alabama team?
I do think it will. And, you know, I was digging around online and looking it up. I think that the only true freshman that has ever led a team to a national title was in Oklahoma, and that was 21 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's been a long time, and that's a huge, big burden to carry. You know, we're talking about chips on shoulders and having something to prove. Deshaun Watson has more to prove tonight than anybody else on that field. He didn't win the Heisman. He's leaving. He doesn't have any more time here. You know, his college football time is coming to an end, and he needs to show all these scouts and stuff what he's made of, and, you know what, make up for what happened last year and go out with a bang. And I think there's more chips on shoulders when you look at that Clemson team than when you look at the Bama team.
So you look at Deshaun Watson, and you mentioned this, and you're absolutely right about them coming in with this vengeance, and Alabama comes in and is kind of the team to beat, even mm-hmm. though apparently they may not feel that way. They feel like they might be the underdog. But you talk about Deshaun Watson, you look at what he did last year in Glendale and the incredible game that he had. For you, what does he need to do to surpass it outside of winning? Because obviously that's the key, right?
Outside of winning,
but
right?
But can he have a better game than he had last year against this Alabama team?
You know what? And you guys brought this up. I think I'm in agreement with you on that. The Bama defense this year is way better than the Alabama defense last year. And so
that's crazy
kind of,
to say, because they're always good.
They're always good. They are. But they really have kind of been that key, that the star of Alabama this year. That it's the Alabama defense. Now, Jalen Hurts has done well, I think, as a true freshman. And we talked about, you know, I said that I thought he deserved a trip up to New York, and I mm-hmm. thought he displayed some, you know, some greatness this year. But at the same time, it's been that defense. But I do think that Deshaun Watson can play better if he wants it bad enough. I think it's really going to come down to, I think, like Laura said, and like you said, they are playing their best football right now. So he needs to carry that over. He needs mm-hmm. to stay focused, keep his eye on the prize, and realize it's not just a championship for your team. It's everything. It's your the accumulation of your entire career. And why not tie it up with a nice national championship?
If Dabo Swinney gets this win, do you put him in the top five college coaches right now?
Probably.
It's tough, I know. And you look at who you're talking about, but mm-hmm. at this point, you know, what he was able to do against Urban Meyer, and then if he can knock off this Alabama team with Nick Saban, who is the best coach in college football, it's hard for me to make the argument that Dabo shouldn't be up there.
I agree completely. And especially like what you said, what they did against Ohio State, and just if he can take down Saban is everything. You know, we're talking about these players and stuff. Saban is everything in this game, because
absolutely.
To me, if I'm in college football world, Saban is that's the scariest thing out there.
And that's why it doesn't bother me that Lane Kiffin is not on the sidelines.
And it doesn't, you know what, it doesn't bother me. I'm kind of in agreement with Annie on that. The fact that, you know, there's not that distraction anymore. You know that your offensive coordinator now is all in on you guys. There's not that outside, well, what are you doing over there now?
Is he
are
thinking
you
even... about FAU?
Exactly.
Is he thinking about interviewing?
Exactly. And how can you not? If you're Lane Kiffin, of course you're kind of torn between the two. But at this time of year, on this Monday, on National Championship Day, you need to be all in on where you're at. And I do think it's a positive that Sark's there. But we'll see what happens.
So you're taking Clemson.
I am taking Clemson.
And I'm taking Alabama. So what kind of bet are we going to make?
Whew.
Live on the air, we're doing
all right,
this. What kind of bet can we make?
Oh, man, because I'm not going to be with you guys. So
but you'll be with me tomorrow, so
yeah,
that's all that matters.
In spirit. And you know, we can Snapchat each other. I mean, let's be honest, we're all going to be partaking in extracurricular activities, yes?
For every point, assuming it's not crazy and outlandish, that Alabama loses or that Clemson loses, vice versa, that's how many shots we're going to take.
Deal. By the book. Because I think it's going to be a close enough mark. If it's outlandish, then every touchdown.
Like, all it took was Annie getting off the air and you coming on for me to completely change what I said I'm going to do.
Yeah, you changed your mind now. So for every point, as long as it's not outlandish, we take a shot.
That works.
But if it's outlandish, every touchdown.
We'll figure
it out.
Or
field goal. Something.
We'll definitely figure it out.
Because if it's like 30 points, I would like to stick around. I have a few years left in my life, I think.
Well, I do think that this game is going to be really good. I think it'll come down to the line of scrimmage. It'll come down to really who can control that. In my opinion, Alabama just has been dominant all year, and they haven't played a complete game, in my opinion. You've got games where the defense has always looked really good. The offense hasn't played as well. Then the secondary has kind of slacked a little bit. They're still incredible, right? So for me, it's going to come down to who can control the line of scrimmage. I believe Alabama has that edge, so I'm going to take Alabama. But like I said, wouldn't shock me if I'm taking those shots tonight. It's going to be a great one. Hopefully, this sequel is as good as the original, if not better, because I like to see drama down the end. So,
and I know people say history repeats itself, but not this soon. It hasn't been that. It's not that historically late now. So we have. It's not been that much time. So I just don't think history is going to repeat itself today.
Well, thanks for hanging out with me.
Thanks for having me.
You'll be back normally on Mondays every day for the SB Nation Radio National Show. Thank you guys for hanging out on Twitter, Periscope, Facebook, and of course GridironNow.com. Check us out on iTunes, on social media. We're kind of everywhere. So
yeah, we are.
We're spread out.
We hate technology, but we're on all technology mediums.
And we have cameras because we're a radio show. But hey, the cameras we had to have because we like to look at ourselves. So go to SBNation.com, play the bingo, listen along the show. Have a great time tonight. Stay safe. Don't do anything crazy like we're going to do.
Stay friendly, my friends.
Do as we say, not as we do, right?
Make good choices.
Stay friendly. Thanks for hanging out. This is the Casey Smith Show. We'll be back on Wednesday breaking down all the action and everything else going on in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL is still going on. 3:00 Eastern. We'll see you guys then.